This is Keeping Up with Chaos podcast, where real, random, sometimes funny, sometimes serious conversations happen. Either way, it's all chaos. So wherever you're going, pop in your earbuds, find a comfy spot, and maybe a cocktail. Join us.
That I think is important, real quick, is that like everybody, when they think of like screenwriters or directors or actors, they think of like the really, really famous and rich, like first director, like they think of Quentin Tarantino, or they think that you're working at McDonald's. Okay. When in reality, there's a whole group of middle-class writers, actors, directors who like do well. They're not like famous, but they make enough to live and survive like me, but they're not like, you know, so like, I think a lot of creatives, if you just accept that you're, you know, that you can make a living doing this, but you're maybe not ever going to be Quentin Tarantino, you're like, your life will be happier, you know?
You just validated my whole life. All right, guys, we're back for another week of chaos. Welcome and thanks for joining us. Tonight, my friend Lloyd is on. I finally got him on the podcast. Yay. Gabby's back as well, so we're excited that she's here. And we have a special guest, Koji Steven Sakai. He is the founder of Little Nalu Pictures. He has film and television projects all over the place. We'll talk a little bit more about this, including Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon, just to name a few. He also has produced... He's written 8 feature films that have been produced, including The Commando, which is a feature film starring Michael Jai White and Mickey Rourke, just to name one. He's also produced 6 feature films, including Dwayne Perkins' Take Note, just to name one. Koji's also currently a staff writer for a Japanese television series slated for Disney Plus. In addition to his screenplays and all the cool stuff I just said, I'm not even scratching the surface. Koji's written books and graphic novels, including Santa versus Zombies and Romeo and Juliet versus Zombies. So clearly he loves zombies. We'll get into that as well. All right, guys, we're glad that you're here. Let's get the conversation started. Oh, and one more thing. I can't forget this. He produces and hosts the Unofficial Official Story podcast with co-hosts Jennifer Field and Dwayne Perkins. Now let's get the conversation going. Cheers, guys.
Hey-o.
Thank you for being here.
It's no problem.
I'm excited.
It's funny. My dad's like, why are you home early? And I'm like, oh, because one of my voiceover friends has a podcast and she asked me to be a guest. And he's like, anytime I talk about podcasts and I'm not talking about Broke, Black, and Bored, he's like, so are you guys? And I'm just like, it's just really hard for us to, because we don't want to, because we were doing video and we don't want to like take a step back and do just
audio.
Right. It feels like a step backwards. And so it's always like, are you good? And I'm just like, we're figuring things out.
You're taking a pause, right?
Yeah,
you're taking a pause.
And yeah. And, you know, it's not like we have like a huge following or anything, you know.
Yeah, but when you put time and effort into something that is, you know, more than a hobby and it becomes something that you're really passionate about and it's fun and you're having a good time and you're sharing it with a friend or friends, you know, then it makes it, like you want to keep doing it, you know? So, and you're motivated to do it, not because of like a financial thing, you know, you're doing it because you just love it and you love doing it. So,
yeah. And the other thing is that like, ostensibly I could do, if I did nothing else, I could like devote my time to like making sure everything is good on our podcast. But the problem is that, like, especially when it comes to editing, I spend 8 hours in front of a computer already. I don't want to come home and be in front of a computer editing, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's a lot. Yeah.
But that is one hope. Like once I start booking, you know, full-time or even part-time, you know, once I'm out of my job, I do want to start going back towards, you know, doing more for our podcast, because that'll be cool.
Yeah, I just literally take a little clip from this podcast and just upload it to YouTube and voila, that's it. I don't do anything else to it.
That's what we used to do, but there's so much complication that has happened with our podcast, because we were originally under a different name with a different with a third person.
Okay.
It was Movies for the People, and then we stopped doing Movies for the People and went you know, Broke, Black, and Bored.
Yeah.
So there was like multiple YouTube channels. And then our most recent YouTube channel, there was this whole thing. It was really weird. It got taken down because.
Really?
Yeah. And we don't know why.
Oh my gosh.
Which is really annoying.
Yeah.
But it was when we first started taking a break. It was around the time. It was over the pandemic, like Black Lives Matter stuff was going on.
Protests,
whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like that big, like the Pizzagate thing was a really big
thing.
And we had an episode and we called it Pizzagate.
Oh, and shoot.
It was honestly us just mad at people making conspiracies that had like already been debunked.
Right. Okay, that's interesting.
And there were like, I have gone back and listened to the episode, but it's the longest episode we've ever done. And I'm like, first off, how are we okay with just putting out this whole episode in one go? But I was like, there are a couple times where I maybe get a little too fired up, or maybe not, I don't know. But what I do know is YouTube sent us like a
warning or something.
Yeah. So here's what's weird about it. They sent it at like 2:18 a.m. Right.
Right.
And it's like, if there are any other problems, like this is your warning. If there are any other problems, blah, blah, blah. Then they sent another email at 2:19 a.m. saying that the channel had been taken down.
They took channel down because of that one episode. Okay.
And
can you get it back up? Is it done?
No, because YouTube has this whole, like, there's this
interesting,
like, there it's complicated because their appeal process, you're supposed to do it in like within, I want to say a month, but it might be three. But the thing was, we didn't catch it originally because it was one over the pandemic when, like, right, we were taking a break and it was in the middle of the night, so like, you didn't see the email.
They did that on purpose, right?
No. But the thing is that YouTube's policy is that if you have a channel taken down on their platform, you cannot make another channel on their platform ever, like, period.
Like, you're done. And
yeah.
You're canceled. And
yeah, essentially. Yeah. And so it's like this whole weird, and people get away with making new channels and like gaining a following.
Sure.
But we're like, do we want to put that effort into that?
Right. It's a lot of work, you know, doing a podcast. Oh my God. Right. And that's, so I'm so happy that you're here tonight. Cause like our guest tonight is all about conspiracy theory. So like, I knew that you would be perfect for this. And but I know that we could open up a lot of cans of worms and we could also go down some rabbit holes. So we're going to try to keep it tight, but I'm excited because I think this is gonna be a perfect pairing. And if Gabby comes, if she doesn't have internet issues, it'll be a fun like roundtable conversation. So let's just talk about the guests for a little, just like a little, like
okay.
a
yeah, yeah.
second. Because you're talking about like conspiracy and, you know, it's like, that's just as like a springboard right into it. But Koji's really cool. I met him when I guested on another podcast. I was doing a roundtable on the Skeptic Metaphysician podcast. They invited me to join them. And that's when I met Koji. And I thought, this guy is super cool. And he has like a really cool background, you know, so he's like a producer, screenwriter. He's an author. I don't know. Did you get a chance to take a listen to his podcast? Yes, it's a podcast. The unofficial.
I started listening to it, but I didn't get to listen
to like all of it
as much as I wanted to.
Okay. So there's, so there's three of them. One's a comedian, one's an actress, and Koji's a writer and author and producer. So I want to find out how they got together, why they started the podcast. And then I'm also interested in knowing just a little bit more about Koji, because I want to find out like because he's in the world of entertainment, which is pretty much kind of like where we're at, you know, we're voice actors and, you know, but he's on the other side of the table, you know, like he's the screenwriter and the producer.
Right.
And he loves zombies, which I find fascinating because I like, seriously, if you had to choose zombie or vampire, like which would you choose? Like I don't know.
Be anything. Or survive from?
Yeah,
or
both. Like both.
I mean, I would much rather be a vampire than a zombie.
See,
I would much rather survive from zombies than vampires. But it depends on what type of zombie.
Are there different types of zombies?
Yes.
Are there really? Okay.
Yeah, well, it depends on what, you know, you have like the shambling, like Resident Evil.
Okay.
You know, like, what is that? House of the Dead's a little bit different because they're like mutant zombies. And there are some mutant zombies in Resident Evil. But then you have like 28 days and 28 weeks later, or World War Z, where those zombies are very fast and aggressive.
Okay.
And like, they're just like completely unstoppable killing me. Well, they're not completely unstoppable, but like, they will last longer than you in most scenarios.
Okay. So I'm glad that you're here because you know a lot more about zombies than I do, but I would definitely want not to be, I feel like vampires could be among us. They could get around being integrated in life. Like, I feel like if you're a zombie, you can't really hide the fact that you're a zombie. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
So I feel like it's more sustainable that like there are vampires out there.
Absolutely. I mean, to be a vampire, like, see, I'm in a really weird place existence wise.
Yes, I know.
Because like, I totally believe in the supernatural. You know, I have had my own experiences. I'm close to people who've had experiences,
right?
You know, and so, and generally it's paranormal. Like, it's when I say my own experiences and the people I know, it's all been like ghosts, you know, specifically. But it's one of those things where I have this really weird mindset that in a lot of cases,
yes.
Like I was telling somebody earlier this week about horror movies. I get mad with horror movies because most of the time it's not very likely, right?
Right.
But also, no one can prove it didn't happen.
That's true. Okay.
You know?
Right, right.
It's like...
Well, and that's interesting that you say that because Koji talks about how like he says that like art mimics life, right? Or maybe he doesn't say that, but like people say art mimics life, or does life mimic art, you know?
Right, and vice versa.
Vice versa. Yeah, yeah. So that's like a interesting note. There's some things I've seen that I did not want to see. I can't like erase out of my memory and my brain that I'm like, that better not be real. Like, that better not have happened. I can't watch scary stuff. I can watch vampire stuff. I don't know what it is. Like, I can watch Blade. I can watch, you know, Interview with the Vampire. I watch the whole Twilight series. But like, when it comes to zombies or anything like super gross, like guts and like guts coming out and brains mm-hmm. being eaten and super horror, no.
So
I do believe in ghosts though.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, so I remember I was telling you and our VO friends a while back that I was super obsessed with audio dramas.
Yes.
And because you're bringing up vampires, there's one that I recommend called Impact Winter.
Oh.
And essentially it's like, I think like I can't remember exactly what happens, but like the story is that the world has been overrun by vampires.
Okay.
And the like, and there is no longer sunlight. Like the clouds have it, like it's perpetually blocked out the sun. So it's like they're living in a world where there are vampires and the vampires don't have to worry about the sun.
Oh, interesting. I like that. Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting, because it's like how many times can you come up with something different, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
like different
right.
plots and twists, and like, you know, vampire's a vampire, they want to suck your blood. But like, how, you know, do you either go the romance or do you go to like the crazy, like, you know,
right,
killing sprees or whatever? Yeah, so I like that. That's an interesting theme.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Speaking of which, when you said about you had these like philosophies, and I was reading on some of these conspiracies on the link that I sent you. And there's yeah. some people that believe that the earth is hollow. And there's some people that believe that the earth has already ended, like back in something 2012? Or other. Yes. And I was like, oh my God, Lloyd's right. Like
the darkest timeline.
Like the sun went out, and like, we're like, you know, seven. What was that whole theory that you said? Like, in, like you could be already gone.
It would take 8 minutes if the sun were to like explode right now, supernova,
yeah.
It would take 8 minutes for the light to make it to Earth. In which case, assuming that, like, I mean, as soon as we find out, we would all immediately go blind, more than likely, like in a couple of seconds, if not instantaneously. But, you know, at any given minute, you could find out that 7 minutes ago, the sun exploded and we would all be done for. See? You know, yes. And that's something I live with. It's gotten to the point where I've told somebody that at least once every week for the past like month and a half.
It's every once in a while I'll be walking down the street, walking my dogs, and I'll be thinking like, what if like the world just ended, you know?
Yeah. Like,
And the other part of the conspiracy, some of the conspiracy theories is that like we're living in a matrix, right? So it's like the world's already ended and we're just like living in a simulation, right? So that's weird to think about.
One thing I hate is I love conspiracy theories and hey, look who it is.
It's Gabby.
She's still connecting.
Yes. So continue on.
One thing I love is that like conspiracy theories are great and no one can really prove that a lot of things didn't happen. But in some cases, like nobody can prove that it did happen. And it's really annoying because then you're just like spinning in circles, really. Or it's stuff like the flat earth, right?
Right.
I've seen like so many times like those theories have been debunked and obviously some people still believe in them, whatever. But it's like, even if the earth was flat, how does that change my life?
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, it would change your life if the sun, you know, blew up and we were gonna, you know, and we're gonna be gone.
Well, it would end my life, but
but yeah, like you're right. Like if the earth was flat, like it doesn't really change our life much, right?
Right.
Exactly. Hi, Gabby. Hey, Koji.
Is that better?
How's it going? Welcome to the party. And Lloyd, I want you to tell me a little bit about your paranormal experience in a second.
Oh, okay.
We'll wait for Koji to join us. And Gabby's getting situated.
All right. Is that better? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear all you. Right. Perfect.
I have no idea what's going on there.
That's technology gremlins.
Life is weird.
Life is weird. Koji, I'm so happy you're here.
I am happy to be here.
Lloyd, Koji Lloyd, and my friend Gabby is here too.
Hi.
She's here. You just can't see her. She's hiding. I'm just kidding. But we'll get going. We were just talking about some conspiracies, and Lloyd was just about to share with us a little bit about a paranormal experience.
It's stupid. It's like,
okay, you can just share it quickly then. If it's...
it was just like this thing when I was like between like 4 and 7, I don't remember how old I was. My dad lived in an apartment that was haunted, and nobody believed me. And it's not true that nobody believed me. Actually, people made it seem like they didn't believe me on purpose. We're going to come back to that. But it was this whole thing where I would wake up and my dad would always watch Walker, Texas Ranger. That's the show that would be on. We'd go to sleep. It was like a 2-bedroom apartment, but one was just like stored stuff. And so it was me, my stepmom, my sister and I, and my dad. My sister and I would sleep on this little, like, just like a mattress on the floor.
Yeah.
And TV be on, go to sleep, whatever. And I would wake up in the middle of the night and feel like really weird. And I would look at the TV, which was off, but I could see the reflection of somebody walking from the room into the hallway. Now, a rational person would say, oh, it's probably my dad turning off the TV. Except I would see this person go into the bathroom and close the door. And in the morning, the bathroom would be locked. And it's happened multiple times. And there was this whole thing. Not going to put
crazy.
Hopefully this doesn't blow up so my mom doesn't hear me say this. But there was a time when I was in high school and my mom and my cousin Xavier and I were talking about, because my cousin Xavier and I were really into paranormal stuff. We've watched like Ghost Adventures, Haunting in Connecticut, and all that stuff. And I kind of like put her on blast because everybody was like, there's nothing wrong in this apartment. And the reason why everybody acted like there was nothing wrong in this apartment is because my mom basically has like PTSD from living in very haunted houses when they were kids. And so she like went off on me, and we never talked about paranormal stuff around my mom again.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, that's so funny. I love your mom. I just want to say that really quickly. I love your mom. She's the best. She's the best. Koji, you talk about paranormal stuff. You guys talk about everything, paranormal, conspiracy, but I really want to talk about the fact that, like, when I met you with the Skeptic Metaphysicians, when we were having our round table, I was so interested in the fact that, like, you're a screenwriter, a producer, an author, and, like, you just cover all the bases. So, like, you're obviously not shy about talking about conspiracy and paranormal and ghosts and all that stuff. So, like, how did you get into becoming, like, a screenwriter and a producer and a writer and zombies? Like, did you have your own experience, like Lloyd, you know?
And no. So as far as a writer, I think the first time that I ever wanted to be a writer or ever thought about being a writer was I was on the water polo team in seventh grade. And I used to make up stories about my family, you know, just basically lying about my family all the way home from these games. And, you know, I played at a private school and a prep school. So, like, they're long drives. And I just make up stories the entire way about my family. And my coach was like, you should become a writer. You're just like so much like crap. You're just saying so much crap and it's all lies. And I was like, all right, like this is like, you know, and that was the first time that anybody ever said that I should be a writer. And so after that, I started writing poetry. I was going through a lot. My dad was really sick. And so I was writing this really bad poetry. At the time, I thought it was awesome, but it turns out it was really bad. And I just kind of started writing, you know, a lot. And the thing was, at the time, this is like, you know, I look relatively young. I'm like really old. When I was first in film school, or, you know, I was in school, there was no Asian American screenwriters. There was like, we didn't exist. And so when I looked at my career, I was like, there's nobody that looks like me doing what I wanted to do. So I thought I couldn't do it. So I did a bunch of other things and I kind of came around writing. And then I took a screenwriting course kind of on a lark. I was going to quit. I was on a writing program at USC and I was going to quit. And then my girlfriend at the time was like, you're spending so much money. You're so much in the hole that you should not quit. And so she said, take a screenwriting class. I took a screenwriting class and I was like, this is super easy. I totally get how to write screenplays. And so then I sold the screenplay really fast. And I was like, this is super easy. I could do it. And, you know, I didn't realize it was actually going to be really hard. But at the time, I thought that was going to be my career right there. So, you know, that's kind of how it started.
Wow, that speaks like huge to me, especially being in voiceover. I don't know, Gabby, like, you know, it's like you just pour all this money into something. You're like, I'm going to quit. And then like, you know, at least you had someone talk you out of quitting.
The funny thing is, I just want to say,
yeah,
because of a conversation we had earlier today, I went back and had like a CSV of like the money I've spent. And I was like, and this is only money. This money is only before last September, only starting from last September.
Yeah, we can't go down that rabbit hole.
And I'm just like, oh my God.
But let me just say, all of you guys have really great voices. So
thank you.
You
guys picked the right profession.
I do have a question though. What's it like being a trailblazer? Because, you know, you like, you're part of this Asian American community, and there aren't a lot, you know, it's not a big community. And so what's it like being the first?
Well, I'm not the first.
Well, not the first, but
yeah.
Like.
But yeah, well, at my film school, I was one of the few Asian Americans at the time, but, or in my writing program, I should say. In general, you know, like in the beginning, it was tough because there was just really like a lot of times you had two kinds of Asian Americans that were in the industry. You had one that was like, I don't want to be seen with you because I don't want to be seen as doing Asian projects, right? Like they didn't want to be the Asian guy or the Asian woman. And then you had the people that were being allies and wanted to help and wanted to build something up. But nowadays, the great thing about nowadays is there's a ton of, you know, there's a lot more Asian American creators, a lot more Asian American actors, and there's just a lot more Asian Americans out there. So it's really exciting. But yeah, I always say that I was doing Asian American movies when nobody wanted to see Asian people. No one wanted to see people on screen. No one wanted to hear our stories. No one wanted to hear anything like that.
Well, did you ever feel like nobody wanted to hear anything and you just wanted to like kind of give up a little? Or
every single day, you know, like it was tough, you know, there's no money. There's still no money in Asian American movies and stuff, but you know, like, I mean, it's tough. Like, and then especially when, you know, like it's not, you spend all this money and time and effort and work, and then, you know, it's never, and it doesn't really get out. But what I will say, you know, to all the creators, and this is what I tell my students all the time, I teach screenwriting as well, is that, you know, we have no say in how a project does, right? Like, mm-hmm. you could write like a really, really amazing book and it comes out on 9/11, no one cares, right? Because it's like, everyone's worried about 9/11. Or you could write the worst book in the world, AKA Twilight, and all of a sudden, like, I'm sorry, like I've read Twilight, so I could say that. It's like, she's a terrible writer and the terrible books, but she like, it hit a zeitgeist, right?
Timing.
And yeah. everybody read it. Everybody saw it. It was huge. You know, I know a ton of talented writers that are way better, you know, like that have never been published or been published. And so like, you know, one of my favorite novelists, my friend, was like, it has nothing to do with you. And you can't base your self-esteem on how a project, self-worth on how a project does, because it's out of your hands, you know, like,
yeah.
So that's kind of the way I think about a lot of these projects. You just don't know.
It's like divine timing, right? I mean, some people have the golden touch, right? And then there's some sometimes. People that just, you know, and then sometimes it's divine timing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you came out with a book on 9/11, bad timing.
Right? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And you have a couple, like, you've been all over the place. Like, you're on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Peacock, Paramount Plus, Roku.
Oh, my.
My middle is trying to get me to subscribe to Paramount Plus. I'm like, I think we're on enough platforms.
Yeah.
And is it Tubi? Tubi?
Tubi. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've like, I mean, I'm looking at your movies that you've worked on. You have 8 feature films. That's pretty cool. And The Commando, and I recognize Mickey Rourke, and that's pretty cool. And yeah. Michael J. White. And then I want to know a little bit more about The Skeletons in the Closet. Now, is that out, or was it like just finished up and it has, it's like not yet launched? Or
no, yeah, we just shot that in March Las Vegas, so it hasn't come out yet. No,
with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Terrence Howard. So that's cool. So
yes.
Lloyd's in Vegas.
Yes.
Did you see
and
them
I'm from
shooting?
Vegas.
No, but it's funny you bring that up, because I started to listen to an episode of your podcast. It was the Tupac one.
Okay.
And I realized, like, as soon as I started listening to it, there was like a pre-roll ad, and it was very specifically a Vegas one. And I was like, are they here?
No.
Or okay. I was just like,
the ad company doesn't like localize it. So whenever you download it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, So it, like, basically wherever you're listening, that's where the ad is probably.
Yeah.
I normally don't have it happen that specifically. That's why.
Really? Ooh, yeah, because a conspiracy.
It works.
It did work. I mean, normally if it's that specific, the ad plays before, like it's pre-roll. But if it's like included on the actual timeline, like of the.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're just doing really good work. Whatever ad agency that is.
So a lot of your books and like graphic novels are around zombies, right? So I know we touched on this one last time when we first met. Like, why zombies? Because like, I asked Lloyd this question earlier. If you had to, like, zombie or, you know, vampire, you know, you had to choose. And he's like, wait, surviving from, or like, you know, do I want to be one? Like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I don't know, whatever. And we both agreed vampires, but like, you're team zombie, like all the way. Oh, sorry. I don't want to speak on your behalf.
We agreed that surviving as a vampire.
Yes, we agreed. That would be way
trying
better.
To survive vampires
would be easier than zombies.
Would not. It depends. A zombie apocalypse is like an apocalypse. But like, if it's something like what I was telling you about, like Impact Winter, where like vampires take over, the vampires are smart.
We're food, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why zombies?
You know, I've always loved zombies. Some of the first movies I watched as a kid were the zombie movies, right? The Romero movies. So those really stuck with me. But first and foremost, it's always about survival. I love, like, I'm secretly, like, my wife kind of keeps me in check here, but I'm basically like, if she wasn't around, I'd be a prepper. Right. I'd have a bunker. Like, I can't keep that much food because she'd get mad at me, or that much water, or that much supplies. But I have enough to like, we have enough to live for a little while. But, you know, like that's ultimately like my secret goal in life is to like experience something amazing, crazy. I was going to say amazing because probably not amazing. <for women. laughs>
Because, you know, like, who you ask.
That's true. Well, you know, like the thing I tell people about the end of the world and the zombie apocalypse is that like, well, not really as a zombie apocalypse. This advice does not work with a zombie apocalypse, but in general, like end of the world kind of things, it's always about your will to live. That's all it is. It's always like, do you want to live? And if you don't, you're probably not going to survive it. And if you do, you want, like, you're going to survive like the zombie or the thing. So, you know, I think it's fun. I'm not really into vampires all that much, to be honest with you. I just don't find them all that interesting. I think I've written one script and it didn't really go anywhere. So
are you the type of person who's, gosh, I can't speak. Are you the type of person who's read Max Brooks's Zombie Survival Guide?
Yeah,
how to survive a zombie. Okay.
Yeah.
There's people who like zombies, and then there's people who go out of their way to read that book.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I've read almost every zombie book out there. I've listened to every zombie thing on Audible. I watch all the zombie movies. You know, I'm obsessed. I mean, like, so when I watch movies, like, most of the time it's for work, right? Like I'm writing this kind of movie. I need to watch these kinds of movies. The few movies that I do watch on my own are usually horror movies. And then if there's not specifically like zombie movies are the things that really like get me excited.
So it's like your four fun movies, right? The rest is just for work. So how did you get involved in these movie TV projects? You know, like, you know, did you just like, was it divine timing, you know, and like being a screenwriter? I mean, how does that all work? Because I'm like thinking like screenwriter, producer, director, you know, and then all of a sudden like the movie and the actors and everything, like how does that all work? Like, where do you fit into the mix?
So my first movie that I ever got made was my mother apparently was my agent at the time. I didn't realize this. She knew this famous Japanese director who needed an American screenwriter to rewrite a script that he was doing for America. So that she pitched me and I got the job and that set my career up. But, you know, in general, it's a hustle. You know, it's always like, you got to go out there. You got to be able to talk. You know, when I talk to students and when I tell people about my career, I always say, you know, it's like, talent is one thing. Like you have to have some kind of talent, but like in my program, I wasn't nearly the most talented writer in the program. I would say like generously, like I was about like an average middle of the writer there. But what made me different was I loved to talk. I loved the network. I could raise money. I could, you know, I could do all those things. Whereas a lot of my girlfriend at the time, who's probably the most amazing writer I ever met, she didn't want to talk to people. And so she wrote these amazing things, but no one ever read it because she wouldn't go out there. Whereas I was like constantly hustling. I get internships. I go to networking events. I meet, you know, like my wife hates it, but when I meet a rich person, my eyes like, I'm like, okay, let's like, I don't care if we're kid's birthday party or we're, you know, like at a library, it's like, I'm going to pitch them. I'm going to get money from this person to make this project. And that's just the kind of attitude you need to, in order to make this project. But what I will say about this industry that I think is important real quick, is that like everybody, when they think of like screenwriters or directors or actors, they think of like the really, really famous and rich, like first director, like they think of Quentin Tarantino, or they think that you're working at McDonald's. Okay. When in reality, there's a whole group of middle-class writers, actors, directors who like do well. They're not like famous, but they make enough to live and survive like me. Yes. But they're not like, you know, so like, I think a lot of creatives, if you just accept that you're, you know, that you can make a living doing this, but you're maybe not ever going to be Quentin Tarantino, you're like, your life will be happier. You know,
you just validated my whole life.
I was going to say, that's a lot of like voice acting.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people that are like, everybody knows who they are. And then there are so many people who nobody has ever heard of, but they're doing just fine.
But yeah, you're making money. You have constantly have projects like, you know, like you said, I think I have like 10 movies and no one's ever heard of me, but that's okay. You know, like, cause I have a great life. I have a happy life. I'm doing what I want to do. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And you're podcasting and you're hanging out and you're going on other podcasts and you're getting to know other people in the industry and just meeting new people. And that's like the whole fun part of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there's also a level of like being able to like fly underneath the radar, right? Like when you're that household name, like, you know, I mean, whether you're an actor, a screenwriter, a producer, like you can't really go anywhere and do anything, like have a life that you want to live, you know, like if you do what you love and pay the bills, right? Yeah. and be happy.
Don't get me wrong. I'd love to be rich and famous. You know? But you know, like, I mean, it's like, but it's not like, my self-worth isn't tied to me being rich and famous.
Yes.
Right. That's the most important thing, that my art and my career is like, you know, like I told my son, he's an amazing baseball player. I say, I'm doing something that thousands of people would want to do. And I'm lucky to do it. Like, you know, like that's the kind of like, and I have to tell myself that all the time.
Yes.
In order to like make sure that I don't feel like I'm wasting my life, you know?
Thank you for saying that, because I literally like am at a journey in voiceover where like there are days where I literally feel like I'm walking in the booth and I'm like literally paying to work for free, right? Like that's what you're doing. And you're like, am I spinning my wheels? Am I doing, you know, but then at the end of the day, I know I'm modeling for my son. My teenager is getting ready to go to college, you know, and I'm like, listen, if there's something that you really enjoy and really want to do and you're interested in right now, don't talk yourself out of it at 16, 17 years old. Go for it. Find ways, internships, go work at companies that are like in the umbrella or the pocket of what you're interested in.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, you don't need to fit in a box, you know?
And there's sacrifices you have to make, you know. Totally. I didn't go to clubs as much as my friends, or I didn't go to bars. I was writing, you know, when people asked me what I was doing, I was like, I'm writing. That's my job. You know, like I can go out once in a while, but you know, even that's what I tell my son all the time. Like he wants to be a major league baseball player. So he plays baseball literally all the time. And I tell him there's sacrifices. And when those sacrifices aren't worth like what you end up wanting, then you need to quit and do something else. Yeah. But you know, like you're going to miss birthday parties. You're not going to play video games as much as your friends. You can't, you know, like you're going to be working out while they're like eating at McDonald's. Like that's just what you have to do in order to make whatever career you want to be.
Yeah, I agree with you. And we always talk about networking too, like being, you know, networking is key. And I think also in something that I like to think about is like networking, not just networking. Yes, of course you want to get people to invest in you, right? Or like pick you up as like a voice actor, but also like networking and getting to know people and picking their brains about like where they are and what they're doing, how they got there, you know, because that's also an interesting part of the process of being a creative, is finding how other creatives did it too.
Yeah. And that's the mistake most creative people make, is they're always asking for things like, buy my script. Put me in your movie, put my song in your movie, put, you know, like, and it's like, that's like, so I always tell people you should ask questions about them. People love to talk about themselves. So, you know, like you talk to them, you work with them, not like the first thing out of your mouth shouldn't be, give me. Right. That's not a great networking tool.
Yeah.
Crazy thing about that is like, I'm an introvert. We know this, you know, we've had this conversation.
Yes, we have.
We are, by the way.
But I, especially when it comes to like voiceover, I go out of my way to introduce myself to people, you know, in voiceover and like nerdy stuff that happens here in Vegas. And some of that has actually turned into like, hey, you know, this person, that's really cool. And then, you know, whatever. But I think a lot of people fail to realize how much value there is in interacting with other people and gaining perspective from those interactions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because people always say, like, especially when it comes to acting or voice acting, you know, the best thing you can do for yourself is experience life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think really that applies to anything.
Totally. I agree with you 100%. Gabby, I feel like you wanted to interject something right there. So I'm just going to hand the mic to you.
No, I was just going to ask them. So in every industry, this kind of happens. And we've talked about it before. Is there or has there ever been a time where you've had an offer to write something that wasn't in your like wheelhouse?
Or didn't like maybe like feel good, maybe like, or didn't like mesh with like, you know, like your values or something? Is that what you're going with? Or
yeah, because that happens to us all the time where we have to lend our voice.
Yeah.
So my general
voice is out.
My general rule in writing is that I will say yes. With that being said, I have been approached with one particular project that I found offensive, and that I did turn it down because it would hurt my career if my name was ever associated with it. But in general, like my general thing is like, I always tell people say yes until it's a no, because you just never know like what's going to happen in terms. But yeah, if it's like racist or, you know, something that's not great, then I try to stay as far away from that as possible.
Yeah.
What if it's like not in your wheelhouse? Like maybe you've never written anything like that before. Do you still try it?
Yeah. You know, the crazy thing about, you know, I've about writing in general and just writing is that it's always scary. You know, I tell all my students and that the first word I write on any script even if I've written a, like that kind of script a million times, or I've never written that genre before or that topic before, it's always scary. It's always super scary, that first word. This is why when I first start writing a script, I set really, really low boundary, low goals in the beginning. Like I make it really easy for me to get over the that goal. And then I start to feel better. And then I gain steam and I could write more. But yeah, it's always scary. I don't care if I've written, you know, a million of those movies or not. It's always scary. So that's why my philosophy is always yes, right? I always say yes, because you just, you know, like it's scary no matter what. So if you're willing to pay me, I'm willing to write it.
Yeah.
I'm that's willing to so do it.
Impressive. It's impressive because you've also talked about how you don't get writer's block.
Yeah.
And that's, no writer. That's amazing.
Yeah. Writer's block is just a mindset, you know, and I think that it's the big thing is that you just got to get in the habit of like, when you open your computer, you're inspired, you close your computer, you cease to be inspired. And it's, this is a job. And I think too many people think of it like, as like something different than a job, but this is just a job. Yeah.
Like something whimsical, like you're on vacation and enjoying, you're sitting by the pool and then you're just being inspired and you're just writing on a notepad.
Yeah. No, yeah. I wish, I mean, there are writers like that, but you know, like, I mean, in general, like I like a lot of times I'm writing things I don't want to write, you know, like at the end of the day, what I tell people is that if you had $1 billion and you wanted to write a story, are you going to have me write your story or my story? Most billionaires are thinking they're going to write my story, right? Like their story, because they're the ones with $1 billion. So in general, like I think in my career, I write 80% other people's stuff and 20% my stuff, you know, and the 20% my stuff is free until I could sell it, do something with it, raise money. So like, I mean, in my head, I'm always like, well, if you're going to pay me to write, I'm going to do that project. And a lot of times there, you know, there's stuff that I would never have thought of. I'm not interested in, I don't want to write most of the time.
So how do you do that? How do you get into writing a screenwriting, you know, writing something that like you're not into, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you must have a process. I'm assuming you must have.
Well, like I mean, there's a lot of development and outlining and stuff that you have to do, but first and foremost, it's gotta be a movie I would want to watch myself.
Okay.
You know, the story I always tell people and the thing I remember when I write is that one of the things I tell my son is that, you know, you never be the guy that goes around telling jokes that you don't think are funny. Like if he's going to walk around telling jokes, it needs to be the joke that he thinks is funny. And so when he laughs, at least nobody else laughs. There people appreciate you because you're like, at least laughing at a joke you think is funny. The worst kind of people or the worst kind of dudes are like, here, let me tell you a joke. And then they say a joke that they don't think is funny. No one thinks it's funny because, you know, and it comes off as inauthentic. In the same way in screenwriting, I got to write movies that I would want to watch.
Yes.
And if it fails, at least I wouldn't want to watch it. Right. And when my screenplays have failed, it's because I was writing it in a way that I wouldn't have wanted to watch it. Like, so for example, there was a movie about a mermaid horror movie that I got hired for. And I really didn't want to write it because I thought it wasn't scary or interesting at all. And I thought it was a terrible idea. And then I wrote it and I never got into it. And it turned out to be a terrible project. I never got hired again for that project and those people again because that was just terrible. So like I needed to find a way to like get into it, enjoy it, want to see that kind of movie, you know.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. A mermaid horror movie. That's like
I mean, it makes sense.
I mean, kind of. I mean, maybe a little bit if you watch Pirates of the Caribbean. Some nasty mermaids. They were not sunshine and rainbows.
Mermaids?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say mermaids in Harry Potter and Pirates of the Caribbean did not start in Harry Potter and Pirates of the Caribbean.
I know.
That's all I'm saying.
I know. And that's something I want to bring up. I was reading up on conspiracies and they were saying that like a lot of people are saying like, oh, conspiracy is growing bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Because I want to get to your podcast. But like really conspiracy theories have been around for like centuries, you know, like they've been around like whenever, and they're always centered around like something that's happened, like a big event, right? You know, and it's, I was trying to figure out like, why do these things happen? Like, why do people have these conspiracy theories? And I did a little digging and they're talking about how people want to know why something happened. They want to feel like they're a part of it or they want to feel safe. Right.
Yeah.
So like, how did you guys start your podcast? Like, are you a conspiracy theorist? Like, or was it just like for fun and you guys just came together? Cause there's three of you, a comedian, an actress and a writer producer. So I find that like really interesting, you know?
This is, you know, I've always been into conspiracies and paranormal. I listen to every podcast around paranormal stuff. I read all the books, I watch all the TV shows. So I've been really into it. Dwayne, the comedian, he's not really into it. He knows a little bit about it. And then Jennifer, the actor, she's very much like, she's like Unsolved Mysteries and kind of like on the periphery. She's not a huge fan of it. So I just thought it'd be great to like have a perspective on it. And for the show, what I was trying to do was, you know, when I listen to these paranormal shows, they're all exactly the same every time. They talk about Roswell and then they give you all the facts of Roswell. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, then they like, that's it, right? Or they talk about whatever case and they say all the facts. And it's the same thing every single time. Well, I was like, I'm a creative person. My friends are creative. We could come up with a better story about what really happened, you know, than whatever facts totally. That these people are saying. So, you know, that's kind of where it came from. Is like, I'm a writer. Let's do it like a writer's room.
I love it. You guys have like great chemistry too. And it's like a super fun podcast. Yeah. And I'm not just blowing smoke. I mean, I've listened to a bunch of them since I met you. When I met you at the Skeptic Metaphysician roundtable discussion. And I like listened to a bunch more and I was like, wow, this is interesting. But there's a couple podcasts I couldn't get to. So I don't know if you have like exclusive content. Cause I was like, oh.
No, we had an RSS feed problem.
That probably is the issue,
but we're fixing it. We are saying that the government is against us. It's really interesting.
Conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy against us, but you know, I was kicked off Facebook for the podcast actually. And some of my videos get on YouTube get blocked, but it's always funny. I'm like, you know, I protested the blocking and something. I'm like, this is parody, right? Like you have to understand this is parody, and they like, and then they still block it. And I'm like, there are people talking like people who are actual Nazis on the site doing videos, and you're telling me my parody is the thing that's going to get blocked. Okay.
Right.
You know,
right. It's probably like, a computer, you know, I mean,
yeah.
I wonder
no, it's an algorithm.
Like, yeah.
It's an algorithm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it doesn't work how it says it works either.
Yeah. No, it's like, I mean, our 9/11 episode is the one that got blocked, and we're doing like conspiracies and we're talking about conspiracies and around 9/11. And that was like the one that really like set off all the algorithms because I got kicked off a lot of things after that one.
So funny story. We were talking about this before you joined.
About the YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. I, a friend and I, we have a podcast called Broke Blackboard, and we had a YouTube channel, and just before we went on a break, because things were crazy in the world. It was the middle of the pandemic. You know, protests and stuff were happening, whatever is around the time the Pizzagate stuff was going down. We had an episode called Pizzagate and we got an email at like 2:18 a.m. from YouTube telling us that it had been flagged and taken down. And if there were any more issues, you know, then they would go further with that. And at 2:19 a.m.,
we got
an email saying that the channel had been taken down.
Wow.
What happened to next time? You didn't even give us the next time.
Well, yeah, same thing with Facebook. I mean, I had like 10,000 followers or whatever. And then like one day I woke up in the morning and I was like, I can't even get on. I don't know what's going on. And then even my, the people, person that does marketing for the podcast, she got taken down too. So which I feel terrible about because she's just doing marketing for the podcast.
Oh my God.
And so like both, but my other two hosts didn't lose their Facebook thing, but it was, I was like, and at first I was just like, I was really like, I went through the stages of grief and then eventually I was like, who cares? It's only Facebook, right? It's not, but at first I was like, oh my God, like, how am I going to do anything? Yeah, it's like the same. I mean, like, it's just, you know, it's just like you said, Lloyd, it's like, well, I woke up and like, I just couldn't get on anymore. You know?
Right.
But luckily, I like, you know, like, and the people have, like on Twitter, like there are people who are depressed and talk about they've lost Facebook. They lost all their baby pictures or pictures of their baby because they put all their posts up and they don't keep the pictures and then they lose all of that, you know?
Yeah, that's like that. I keep things separate. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like my personal separate from my business, because just for that exact reason, you know, you never know. You could say one little thing and someone's going to get an algorithm's going to be mad at you. Yeah. So let's talk about this because I want to talk about conspiracies. What was your favorite conspiracy on your podcast that you guys touched on besides the 9/11? I mean, I don't know if that was just one of your most popular ones or was that your favorite one or?
I don't know. The 9/11 was only one of my favorite because I was surprised that my co-host Dwayne actually like bought into some of the conspiracies and I just never got it. I never thought of, you know, that he was into it, but I don't know if probably my favorite conspiracy is the one that was gangster rap started by the record companies to keep African-American people down. And we had Ross Koss, who's like he's a rapper from LA, probably a top 50 MC. And he was in there. He was saying he was in the meetings where these kinds of, I mean, he wasn't in the meeting, but he was like around the time that this was allegedly happening. And so that was really interesting to me.
Wow. Okay. Okay. That's crazy.
That's
so how do, yeah. So how do you come up with, I mean, like, do you just like eeny, meeny, miny, mo conspiracy theories? Cause I feel like there's a lot, like I went and Googled and I found like one site that had like 30 conspiracies.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, how do you know which ones that you just pick the ones that you're most interested in or the ones that like, you know, how do you do that?
Well, a little bit behind the curtain, I try to match it with something going on in that month and that time. So like we just did a Tupac episode and September is his birthday or no, okay. Sorry, when he was shot. So when he was shot in September. So it's like an anniversary. So we try to match it with things that are kind of going on, like, you know, like a Bigfoot month, we're going to do a Bigfoot episode, you know, those kinds of things. So we're trying to match it because for us, like the good thing is there's a billion kinds of conspiracies. I mean, there's conspiracies about everything.
Totally.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because you launched the Prince Charles is a vampire episode and then Queen Elizabeth dies. And I'm like,
we actually had a conversation before when we were kind of coming up with the year, we actually had a conversation about whether he's going to be like, you know, I was like, he's going to be king by this time. And everyone's like, no. And it was like crazy. I mean, it wasn't on the air, but like, this was a conversation we had internally. So that was awesome. Yeah.
So let's have a little fun with this this episode with you guys. So like your podcast is based on you guys come up with you state the facts about the conspiracy and then
in quotes need, facts and
quotes yeah sorry and in air quotes and then you kind of come up with your own ideas around the conspiracy whether or not you believe in it right or if yeah
and no, then we come up with our own theory about what's really happening here like
okay, what's you know, really happening
yeah okay. So like for the example in the Tupac episode. My whole thing was that like the question was, well, did he fake his death? And then my answer was, yes, he faked his death, but he's actually a Japanese guy that was in blackface. And then he was about to get called out by a girlfriend. So he decided that he couldn't be it. So he faked his death, went back to Japan and stopped rapping. You know, like that was the one that won. So I'm super excited to announce that I won that. But yeah, they're kind of like following the rules, following what happened, but we kind of create whatever we want.
I love that. Do you guys remember the board game Boulder Dash? Did you guys ever play that where like you take a word? No, I think you do.
Describe it.
Okay. You take a word, you pull a word and then you say the word and everybody makes up their own definition. And then the person that has the word then says everybody's a definition and then everybody votes on what definition they believe. Right. And so that's kind of what it feels like. The podcast, when I'm listening, I feel like I'm, you know, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, no, I want that one. I want this one. And then sometimes I agree with everybody, but I'm going to state some facts about Prince Charles as a vampire. Cause I did my research and I'm sure that you probably have some facts too, Koji, that you can, you know, you can throw in the mix and then we can each give our quick, like, you know, what we think really happened. Okay. So facts, Prince Charles is a vampire. He is formally known as Prince Charles, Prince of Wales. So he's now King Charles III, right? And he is a descendant of the real life Dracula. Is that correct, Koji?
Yeah, Vlad the Impaler.
Yes. Do you want to springboard off that?
Yeah, he also has really close ties with Transylvania.
Yes.
Like they wanted to call him Prince of something in Transylvania, right?
Prince Transylvania or Prince of Transylvania. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And he still gives money. He has like a nonprofit and he gives money to there. And then I think the biggest thing that people say is that if you look at his face, like he kind of has this smile that's kind of vampiric. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but that's a thing.
And I think he bought some real estate in Romania.
Right.
Yep.
That's right.
And apparently he's really stoked that his bloodline is connected to Vladimir or how do you say that?
Vlad the Impaler.
Vlad. Yeah. Yeah. There's another word I can't pronounce. I have a long list. So I'm going to go first. I feel like King Charles could be a vampire. And here's my theory really quick. I believe he might be a vampire because first of all, how come he's aging so weird? Like maybe so, okay, so that's weird. But I think that like, I, how do I want to say this? I want to say this nicely, but do you guys know about Prince Diana, right? Prince Diana, the whole thing, and like that whole conspiracy about how she died in a car accident and paparazzi and stuff like that. So I like Twilight. So I was kind of pairing the two things together. So if King Charles is a vampire, right? And then he's a hybrid, and then he married Princess Diana and they had kids together and then they broke up. And I feel like he, you know, I don't know, didn't like the fact that she was going to spill their secret, right? And Prince Edward and Prince William, I mean, they kind of sparkle a little bit. Like,
yeah. Oh my Lord. they're probably vegan vampires too, right?
Totally they want to be
like cow blood or something, right?
Yes, yeah. Totally vegan. So I don't know. That was a little far-fetched, but I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? Koji, do you want to go next?
Yeah. So my theory is going to be that Princess Diana never loved him. And so she thought that, or he wanted her. I mean, he had Camille, right? All the time, but he was upset that Diana never liked him. And so he wanted to create like this persona. And so he's like, he started telling people, I'm a vampire, hoping that Diana would like him more because he's like a vampire. And then the problem that, like, you know, then Diana would like never care, but that kind of just got out there that he was a vampire, and then he kind of went with it. And then eventually he did meet a vampire who turned him into a vampire. So that's my
interesting,
because he talked a lot about being a vampire.
Interesting.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. Gabby, Lloyd, do you guys want to roll off that?
Okay. Yeah. Mine's short, but I think that he's a vampire because he did admit that he wanted to be a tampon living inside of Camille.
Really?
Did he really?
That's crazy.
Yeah, he did. It was a whole like scandal.
Oh my God.
That is crazy. Oh my
God. And Diana overheard that conversation. So.
Wow. And he's kind of possessive, right? Like he wanted Diana, right? And she was like, yeah. And then he had Camille on the side. Huh.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
You gotta listen to that phone call.
Yeah. Gosh.
Lloyd.
Oh man.
Where are your words? Your words are gone.
My words are who knows where. If I were to say that my thing about him being a vampire is that if he is a vampire, then I feel like the entire royal family have been vampires.
Yes.
And
well, that's why Elizabeth is like, she was like 500 years old.
Yeah, like,
she's from the original Elizabeth. She's not Elizabeth the second, she's Elizabeth the first.
Yeah.
She's not dead Make either.
Death.
She's not dead.
Make death.
I don't think she's dead either. I think I honestly feel like they're kind of like, oh, you're getting a little bit too old for the public to believe that you should still be alive.
But in like 30 years, it's gonna be Elizabeth the third.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Lloyd.
No, you're good. It's I wouldn't be, if somebody were to be like, you know, the whole royal family have been vampires and
they're taking over the world.
I mean, they kind of did. Like
they did, yeah.
Like, and that's the thing, right? You gotta have a lot. That's like old money, you know. Yeah.
Yes, it is. And was it Prince Harry married Meghan Markle? So now they're cross populating the whole world, right? So they're bringing back, you know, the Americans and the British. They're bridging the gap, right?
Well, there's a conspiracy about that, right? Where there's a conspiracy about Meghan Markle. The reason that he married her was that now there's going to be a president king.
Yes, I did read that. But apparently she's a robot.
She could be a robot. I mean, almost every celebrity is a robot. So every celebrity is like a reptilian. That's like, you know, Elon Musk could be a reptilian. Mark Zuckerberg is a reptilian. You know, that's actually one of my favorite episodes was is Elon Musk an alien? Then as we did research, we realized that he's actually a time traveling vampire. So, you know, and my favorite moment from the entire podcast and the one I get hate letters about is there's a picture of this World War II fighter pilot from Canada. Mm-hmm. And he allegedly looks like Elon Musk. I think they look alike, but nobody else seems to think. I mean, like, other people were offended that I said, like, yeah, these two white people look very similar. Because people say I'm racist because I think that these two white people look alike, when allegedly other white people, they don't look alike, but you know, I don't know.
Honestly, I can see it. I can see it.
I'm gonna send it.
What I was gonna say too is I think that Princess Diana and Prince Charles, like, I think they're I think he was a vampire and she was a human and they had hybrid children. And just because they wanted to like bridge that gap of human and vampires, because they saw like the writing on the wall, the modern world.
Question. Have you guys seen, like, is there something with the pens and Charles? Because he apparently does not like pens. Have you seen this?
No.
Have you seen the video of him going like to the pen?
No. Oh. But if it was a pencil and it was lead, then I would understand.
Like, you know what? I vaguely remember seeing something
about
him.
It's an ink pen.
But you know an awful lot of Prince Charles. I mean, you know things that I don't think anybody else knows. I mean, this is suspicious.
No, this
I
is
just
Gabby.
Watch a lot of a Daily Show.
Yeah. If you need to know something, Gabby will find it. Like, she's very good at researching and stuff like that. So I don't want to take up your whole. Yeah, you are. You are.
Very I sent it to both you guys.
So I mean, there's a lot of celebrities out that I feel like could be time travelers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There's a ton. Now, here's a fun little thing we're going to end on. Grab your phones. If we were all going to write our own autobiography.
Oh my.
Going off of your last text, that's going to be the title of your book. So mine is, Are You Okay Medically Though? I'm about to podcast, so if I don't respond, this is why. That's my autobiography. Oh, what's yours, Gabby? Ladies first.
I'm thinking, hold on.
Okay, then you want Lloyd to go?
I have 5 million voices in my head, and none of them make sense.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
I mean, that's a good one, though.
That's a good one, yeah.
That's a good one.
Mine sucks compared to that. Okay.
Mine is okay. With 4 A's, hysterically laughing emoji.
That is so Lloyd. Koji, what's yours?
Wait, so are we saying what we wrote last or what we got last?
No, what you wrote last.
Okay. He was batting .00 with an OPS of 0.4. Oh. I'm a baseball coach too. So that's
are you?
So that's just that's a straight baseball. I don't know why that would be a weird autobiography.
You could probably write that in a way that would make sense. So I'm assuming.
My life is a failure, basically.
No, that's not what I was saying. I don't even know baseball lingo. So that like went right over my head.
Yeah. .00 batting average is really bad and 0.4 OPS is terrible. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you so much for like coming on and saying yes to like hanging out with us tonight. I really appreciate it. And if anyone wants to check out your podcast, you know, how can they find you? And your website, I assuming is non-glitchy now and all's good.
Yeah. Everything's working now. It's the unofficial official story.com is where you can find all our episodes and you can go back and see kind of all from season 1 where we're still kind of learning the things. And now we're much better at podcasting than we were before. You could also check out my work at Koji Stephen Sakai with a V.com where you can see some of the things I'm writing and doing and shooting.
Yeah. And when are we going to see Skeletons in the Closet? That's probably the next big thing, right? Coming out.
You know, I also shot a new movie with RZA is the executive producer. We shot a small horror film in Los Angeles. What?
Is it the janitor one?
No. It's a small horror movie called Nyctophobia. And that's probably my favorite movie I've done in a long time. So that's hopefully coming out next year as well.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. Thank you so much for coming on. And if there's one final thing you were going to leave with us, like, what would you say if, you know, for all of us out there that are trying to like grind away in this world of screenwriting and directing and producing and voiceover and acting, and all that kind of stuff, since you are a coach and a teacher?
Yeah. The first and foremost is always, you got to stop talking about it and just do it. The biggest pet peeve I have my writers is that they always talk about writing and they talk to other people about their writing, but they're not actually writing. And the thing I learned is that I talk less about my writing now than I did before. And it's because I'm doing more writing than I did before. And that's something that's really, really important, that you just got to stop talking and just doing.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Hang tight for 1 second.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, that's a wrap, right? Thanks for joining us this week. And by the way, we forgot to pick our winner, which is all about the Unofficial Official Story podcast. That's what they do. We didn't vote, but we voted. We didn't vote on record. We voted off record. And we picked Gabby's tampon theory or tampon gate. So hopefully you agree. All right, guys. Thank you, Koji, for coming on tonight. We really had a great conversation with you. Thanks, Lloyd, for finally coming on the podcast. And thank you, Gabby, for coming back again. And thank you for choosing us tonight. We're glad that you're here and you come back every week. We launch a new episode every other Wednesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check out the show notes. All the important links are there. And of course, check out our website, Follow the Chaos, keepingupwithchaos.net. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Cheers.